Well, here in this country, student loan rates will be going down, at least in the short term. The House passed a bill yesterday that the Senate had already approved to tie rates on some new student loans to the rate on government bonds. There are concerns that as the economy improves, those rates will rise, but we'll have to see. The problems, though, that exist in our education system go way beyond the cost of college, and they start long before SAT time, before high school, before middle school, even before elementary school. We're going to talk about all of that now with Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education. And Secretary Duncan, I want to start with something that is still surprising to a lot of Americans, which is these reports that compare our education system to others around the world. They are just not good for us. The Council on Foreign Relations finds that the U.S. has slipped 10 spots in both high school and college graduation rates in the past three decades. And the Economist Intelligence Unit ranks us 17th out of 50 countries. What is going on?
Well, it's real, and I think we have to deal with that honest truth. I might even call it a brutal truth, but that data is, I think, very much captures where we rank internationally. One generation ago, we were first in the world in college completion rates, and today we're 12th. And, you know, we've had many countries pass us by. And why that is particularly concerning for me isn't just because of the educational impact. Obviously, in a world that's shrinking and getting flatter and with a globally competitive economy, jobs are going to go high-wage, high-skilled jobs, good middle-class jobs are going to go to where the knowledge workers are. And I desperately want that to be in the United States. And so we have to stop being so complacent. We have to get better faster. And I would argue we have to get better at every level along the education continuum from cradle to career. So starting with early childhood ed and increasing access to continue to drive K-12 reform, to making sure that whether it's two-year colleges or four-year institutions, whatever it might be, that some form of higher education is the goal for every one of our nation's high school graduates.
Well, why do you think so many students are dropping out, for one thing?
Well, first of all, some encouraging news is actually graduation rates, as you've probably seen, are at like three-decade highs. So there's some progress in the right direction. Much of that progress is being driven by increasing high school graduation rates among African American and Latino students. So that's encouraging. But having said that, dropout rates are absolutely still unacceptably high. And I always think there's a whole host of, these are always complex issues. There's a whole host of reasons of why kids leave school. And I always say dropping out is less, the cause of something and more the symptom. What it tells me is that something is going radically wrong in that child's life, whether it's something in school, whether it's something at home, whether it's something in the community. No one wakes up in the morning saying, I want to be a high school dropout. And working, all my life in the inner city in the South Side of Chicago with lots of kids who are dealing with sometimes unimaginable challenges, having adults in their life who care about them, who can support them through tough times, having them go to a school with a strong curriculum and lots of great extracurricular activities, there are many, many things that go into that. And I would just hasten to add that if you're serious about reducing dropout rates and increasing graduation rates, frankly, if you wait till high school, it's very late in the game. We can literally identify kids in kindergarten and first grade and second grade who are most at risk ultimately of dropping out, and you need to intervene very, very early.
Well, as the education secretary, you are in a position unlike anybody else to do something about this. Obviously, not the whole solution rests in your hands, but you are in a key position here. You also have a lot of support, unlike many other cabinet members, on both sides of the political aisle, and you have money. So what else really could you be doing, or should you be doing, or can you do to deal with this?
Yeah, well, it's something we think about and challenge ourselves every single day. So I'll tell you one thing that we have done that has been hard and controversial. But we've invested literally a couple billion dollars in turning around some of our nation's most underperforming schools, the bottom 5% of schools. And lots of folks thought, well, you couldn't do that, or poor kids couldn't learn, or black and brown kids couldn't learn, or whatever it might be, or that poverty was destiny. But just in the past couple years, we've seen a significant reduction across the country in what we call quote-unquote dropout factories, those schools where far too many kids are dropping out. And we now have 700,000 fewer children attending these dropout factories. Now, we still have too many. There's still a lot of hard work ahead of us. But that's been, I think, a very significant step in the right direction.
I did see, though, that there was a school in Chicago called Dodge, which you had reopened when you were there before you joined the administration, and it's since closed. for, again, being a low performer. So it's not always, it doesn't seem, the silver bullet to close underperforming schools and then try to reopen them.
There are never silver bullets. And the majority of schools that have been turned around across the country are seeing some real progress, but some still are not. And this work takes time, and you have to stay with it. And again, there are no easy answers here, but how you attract great teachers and great principals to historically underserved communities, be that inner city urban or rural or remote, how you put in place the wraparound services, how you think very differently about parental engagement, how you make sure children who are hungry are fed, how you make sure they're safe, how you make sure they have eyeglasses if they need it. There are so many things, and you have to do all of these things simultaneously. But I will tell you, I've been to many of these schools that have been turned around, and while the data is encouraging, I'm hearing the stories from young people about how much more they feel cared about, how much more they feel challenged, how much more positive they feel about their futures. The stories from students themselves are extraordinarily moving and I think important to this national conversation.
How much of a setback is it, the kind of thing that's going on in places like Chicago and Philadelphia, where we're hearing about thousands of teachers being laid off?
Yeah, it's there's just no upside. There's no upside. And again, whether it's, you know, Philly or, you know, my hometown of Chicago, when you have declining enrollment, when you're, you know, closing schools, when you're laying off teachers, you know, children lose, teachers lose, neighborhoods lose, school, you know, communities lose. And so there's nothing there to feel great about. I always try and look for where the counterexamples to that narrative, and one of the really interesting counterexamples is a place like Denver. Denver 5, 6, 7 years ago was actually closing schools like other cities due to under-enrollment. And we have tough fiscal times. You have to make those tough kind of decisions. But because of increasing public confidence in public education in Denver, their student enrollment is up, you know, 9, 10, 11%. And they're actually reopening schools they closed a few years ago. And so where you have cities that are struggling for a whole host of reasons, I think it's really important to look to other urban areas where there's some real progress.
We're speaking with Education Secretary Arnie Duncan. After a break, we will hear why the secretary believes that the No Child Left Behind law has been bad for the country.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now. Let's get back to our conversation with Secretary of Education Arnie Duncan. And Secretary Duncan, you're going to be known for Race to the Top, this initiative where you're awarding money to various states based on some of their experimental education ideas. What do you think has been the best so far?
Well, I wouldn't point at one. What's been most rewarding to me, frankly, that we didn't fully anticipate is that I can tell you honestly that we've seen as much, if not more, reform coming from states that didn't receive a nickel of Race to the Top money is states that received literally hundreds of millions of dollars. It's been a sort of a fascinating lesson for me and my team. I frankly, this has significant implications, I think, across government at the federal and state level. But what we found was that there was this huge unmet need for reform. And what we frankly did is create the opportunity. We helped to create the space and unleash that. And the fact that you've seen the vast majority of states across the country raise standards, you know, wanting more for students rather than less. And as you know, historically, far too many states under No Child Left Behind, which is all kinds of problems, they actually dummied down standards to make politicians look good. You know, it's bad for children and bad for education, ultimately bad for our country. But that's what, you know, 1920 states did. And to see states working in such a courageous way, innovating, pushing the envelope, it really, you know, yes, there was a significant investment there, no question. But it really, at the end of the day, the fascinating lesson for me is it wasn't about the money. It was really about an opportunity to move the country and to move school districts and states in the direction that folks knew they needed to do, but sort of quite hadn't felt the space or the opportunity or the permission previously.
Well, when you say that No Child Left Behind was all kinds of bad, are you talking about the focus on testing? Do you think that was a mistake?
Well, there are many things that were broken around No Child Left Behind, but there was far too much focused on a single test, far too much focus on just a single cut score there. There are all kinds of problems with that. It led to a dumbing down of standards. It led to a narrowing of the curriculum. The law, as you know, is 6 years overdue to be fixed by Congress. We desperately wanted Congress to fix it in a bipartisan way. Unfortunately, as you know, Congress has been pretty dysfunctional lately. But thankfully, we were able to provide waivers, provide flexibility ability to states. And we've partnered again with the vast majority of states around the country, 39 states to date. And you're seeing them move beyond a focus on test score and looking at how you better support students and how to do a well-rounded curriculum and looking at our graduation rates going up, our dropout rates going down. Are more high school graduates actually college and career ready? And it's just fascinating to see the innovation, the creativity. And my only hope is that when and if Congress gets their act together and wants to fix the law for the entire country, they don't put their heads down in the sand here in Washington, but really look at the best ideas coming from the most creative states. And if they did that, that could be a fascinating, a very, very strong reauthorization and fixing of No Child Left Behind.
But you think there still has to be the testing? There's got to be testing.
I think there's a middle ground here. And so, no, I'm not one that thinks we should not evaluate kids ever. I think we need to know whether students are learning. You also don't want to overtest. But what I'm really interested in looking is how much students are improving each year, looking at their growth and gain. And under No Child Left Behind, there was a fixation just on a cut score, on a proficiency cut score. But if a child comes to you, Jeremy, is, you know, you're the teacher and the child's a couple grade levels behind and they leave you, you know, at grade level or just a little below grade level, you've actually done an amazing job. You're a heroic teacher. And we need to recognize that and reward that and learn from that. But all the incentives were wrong under No Child Left Behind. Under No Child Left Behind, that teacher or that school or district would actually be labeled a failure. And obviously, I lived on the other side of the law in Chicago for 7.5 years, so I'm acutely aware of the challenges there. But, yeah, our students improving, and it's every child improving, whether they're gifted or, you know, an average child or a child with special needs. We want every child learning and improving each year, and we want to know, you know, what teachers and what schools and what districts are doing the best job of that. And we want to share those lessons and ideas with teachers across the country.
What about the solution that many places have gone to, which is a greater reliance on charter schools? And I know that you're a fan of charter schools, for the most part anyway, but there are criticisms that they don't take certain students, they don't take special needs students in many cases, or English as a second language student. I mean, how do you respond to those?
Let me be really clear. I'm a fan of good charters, and there's nothing inherently good or bad about a charter or about a neighborhood school or about anything else. We just want more schools where students are learning and safe and successful and less schools where they're not safe and not learning and where they're dropping out. So for charters to be effective, they need to take every, you know, it's got to be a lottery. They got to take every child. And it's important that accountability systems and authorizers, folks who are actually authorized the charters to operate, make sure that they're taking a representative sample of students. And you have some extraordinarily high-performing charters that I've visited around the country that are doing an amazing job with children. You see other charter schools that are some of the lowest performing schools in the country. And so we just need to have an honest conversation about quality in any school or any system that's doing a great job of eliminating academic failure and encouraging academic success. We need to replicate it and learn from it. And any school that's not doing that, we need to challenge the status quo in a very honest and in a way with a real sense of urgency.
Are we going to get universal preschool because it's one of the things that President Obama would like to do? He proposed it in the State of the Union.
Yeah, well, I'm traveling the country and literally speaking every single day with groups, and I would argue that in a significant investment in expanding access to high-quality early childhood education is the best investment our country can make. And
But can we afford it?
I would flip the question and say, how can we afford not to do it, Jeremy? And it is a significant investment. The president's talked about $75 billion. But when you look at the return on investment, and folks like James Heckman, who's a Nobel Prize-winning economist, has done 3- and 4-decade-long longitudinal studies that shows a 7-to-1 return on investment. So for every dollar we invest, we as a society get back $7. Less teenage pregnancy, less crime, less dropouts, more folks graduating, more folks going into the world of work and being productive citizens and taxpayers. And it's so important, Jeremy, that we get out of what I call the catch-up business. You want to reduce dropout rates? We talked about at the start of the conversation. The best thing we could do is to make sure our babies enter kindergarten ready to be successful. So this is an idea where across the country, Republican and Democratic governors are investing and investing heavily. It's become totally non-political, which is fantastic. And we really want folks in Washington to partner with states.
Finally, Mr. Secretary, I want to ask you just about the teachers. These are people who are going to actually have to make this education system work. And many times, and I've spoken to teachers who I know very well, they feel like they're being blamed for the problems and not recognized for the successes. What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, anyone who blames teachers is a part of the problem and not part of the solution. And we have to stop, you know, demonizing teachers or scapegoating them. I'm in hundreds and hundreds of schools. I'm in schools virtually every week. Teachers are working extraordinarily hard, doing tough, complex, complicated work, often without enough resources and support. We need to do everything we can to support great teachers. We need to do everything we can to attract and retain great teachers. I've talked very publicly about significantly increasing teacher pay. For you know, starting salaries, paying teachers more for taking on difficult assignments. We as a country are not going to get where we need to go if we don't do a much better job of supporting teachers. And we have a lot of work. We've launched a Respect Project that's on our website where we have had literally hundreds of conversations, our team, with thousands of teachers around the country who are helping us think through how to elevate and strengthen the teaching profession. And along with early childhood education, it's arguably one of the biggest gifts that we can leave the country.
Arne Duncan is the U.S. Secretary of Education. Secretary Duncan, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Gentle Giant Moving Company, coordinating moves in neighborhoods across the country with locations nationwide. More at gentlegiant.com. And Lumosity.com, with web-based brain games created by neuroscientists to improve memory and attention. Learn more at Lumosity.com.